Tonight's kind of a special night. The question should be, how far are you willing to go with Yahweh? And so with all of our lives, you know, we have maximum probably 100 years, and then we're going to spend age-abiding life with Yahweh and Christ. And today is determine how we're going to spend that time. And it's very easy to not become telulos. And telulos means brought to its full end. And so when Yahweh tells us to do something, even though we don't want to do it at all, are we going to do it or not? And it really comes down to, and most of the people are going to say no, and that includes pastors. You know, I'm looking at more and more pastors. They're just sad because what they're doing for their long-term pension plan is really going to be sad. And maybe they help people, but they won't even say the word Yahweh, which is, I mean, how sad is that? They'll say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then Pathway Church is follow Jesus in community. This is what, there is no God anymore, and let alone Yahweh. Same way with Terry Fox on Summit Church, it was following Jesus. And I'm like, where did this all start happening? At least in Sturms, it was always God and never Jesus. You know, so you see this transformation that's happening, and the intimidation factor is if you do not do this, you're probably going to lose congregation and you're going to lose friends because it's not popular. So are we willing to do that? Now all of us are not going to. We're going to say, okay. Then we just suffer we accept the consequences that Yahweh, I'm only going to do 90% of your will or 80% of your will. The other 20% I'm going to disobey. How's that? Okay. At least you're honest with yourself. And so I know when I get to the new earth, I'm not going to be up at the top. I accept that. Because I'm a cowardly, I'm a coward, or I think more of myself than the friends I want to have, and so I'm going to conform to this age rather than being not conformed, and that's Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect telos, will of Yahweh. So we're going to see people who did and see people who did not. So it's a challenge for all of us to say, God, am I willing to go the full nine yards? And we're supposed to be imitators of Yahweh, and we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. Did Christ go the whole nine yards?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And they're asking us, and will it be worth it? Is Donald Trump going the whole nine yards?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Is he paying the price?
Yep.
Yes, he is. Because we live in a present evil age. And so it was Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo. So we're going to begin with Luke 4. And here's just an example of Christ doing things. And most pastors, I'm going to say, majority of pastors, are not going to do what Christ did to his family. So here's the prime example, obedience. So here's Luke 4, and he's in Nazareth. You know, he's a Nazarene. We're going to start verse 16 to 30. He's among family and friends. And let's see here. And he came into Nazareth. He'd been living in Capernaum, where he had been brought up, and entered according to his custom on the Sabbath day into the synagogue and stood up to read. And there was handed to him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and unfolding the scroll, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of, it's supposed to be Adonai Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh anointed me to tell glad tidings unto the destitute. He has sent me forth to proclaim to captives a release, and to the blind a recovery of sight, to send away the crushed with the release, to proclaim the welcome year of Yahweh. Okay, son, read that. Now I'm going to tell you some other words to say to this crowd. These are your family members. These are your friends, supposedly. We're going to see how much family members and how much friends they actually are. And pulling up the scroll, he handed it to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes in the synagogue were intently fixed upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is fulfilled this scripture in your ears. That's not going to go over good. And all were bearing witness to him and marveling at the words of favor which were proceeding out of his mouth. And they were saying, is not this the son of Joseph? And he said unto them, by reading their minds, Yahweh's giving them the thought, by all means you will speak to me this similitude. Physician, heal thyself. This is becoming polarizing, right? Mm-hmm. Was Christ polarizing?
Absolutely.
You know what polarizing is? It is the South Pole or the North Pole. You put two magnets together, what happened?
They push
yourself away. That's called polarizing. So, if you do righteousness, the righteous will love you. The wicked will hate you. So if I go right in between, I'm probably going to be liked by both. And that's non-polarizing.
Is chameleon?
Yeah, look at this.
Lukewarm.
You see? Start back at 23, and he said unto them, by all means you will speak to me this similitude, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever things we have heard of coming to pass in Capernaum, do that to hear also in thine own country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is welcome in his own country. That's not good either. And of a truth I say unto you, many widows were in the day of Elijah in Israel, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine unto all the land, and to none of them was Elijah sent, save unto
Sarepta
of Sidonia, which is a non-Hebrew person and country. And these are all Hebrews. So if Yahweh's going to heal a leopard or a widow, it would be here. And to a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and not one of them was cleansed, say, the uncircumcised Naaman, the Syrian. That's not good either. And all were filled with wrath in the synagogue as they heard these things. Great people, family members, and rising up, they thrust him forth outside of the city and led him as far as the brow of the hill on which the city was built so that he might throw him down headlong. These are family and friends, right?
Yeah. I didn't know. Does it say that?
Yeah, because he's in Nazareth. And where he was brought up. And all of them said, isn't this the son of Joseph? Family and friends. But he passed into the midst of them and went his way. You think he ever came back to that synagogue? Probably not. Didn't need to. Was that polarizing? Yes, they wanted to throw him off. Now we go to Luke 14, 25. Now how many pastors will not do that in their congregation? Well, now I'm going to lose my congregation. So be it. 14:25. And they were journeying together with him, many multitude, and turning, he said unto them, if anyone cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, further also even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wow. And so is Christ foremost? Was Yahweh foremost to Christ? Absolutely. And you cut all bands. You know, I'm going here, and if you're not part of this, so be it. So what it comes down to. Now we go to Mark chapter 3, verse 31. So this is not conforming. 331 to 35.
Okay, give us a minute here.
Page 37, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And there come his mother and his brother.
337.
Pardon?
31. 331.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, 331. And there come his mother and his brethren, and standing outside, they sent unto him, calling him. And there was sitting around him a multitude, and they said unto him, lo, thy mother and thy brethren outside are seeking thee. And answering them, he said, who are my mother and my brethren? And looking around on them who were about him in a circle were sitting, he saith, see my mother and my brother. Whosoever shall do the will of Yahweh, the same as my mother, my brother and sister and mother. Isn't that great? You know, that's who our family members are not our biological members. It is actually those who hear the word of God and do it. Now we go to, let's go to Adam and Eve, or have to go to Genesis, where we saw to Adam and Eve, Yahweh says, don't eat. And Eve says, what?
Eat.
And so now I'm torn. I'm going to follow Yahweh or I'm going to follow my wife. And what did he do? He followed his wife to their both demise. And we go to Exodus 32. We're going to see some people who did that. Exodus 32, verse 25. These are the Levites. You know, was Moses polarizing?
Yeah.
Is Yahweh polarizing?
Mm-hmm.
It's real simple. I'm going to tell you, here's the Ten Commandments. Not 10 suggestions. Here's the 10 commandments. Do it and live. And if you don't do it, what you're going to do?
Die.
You're going to die. I mean, that's black and white. Very simple. There's no gray here. Okay, 32. And we know they made the calf. So Moses was on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. Aaron made the calf. Was Aaron tellulos?
No,
he did not. Was he a prophet?
Yes,
he was. He was 83 years old. Did he get pressured by the people? Yes, yes he did. Did he pass the test?
No.
No, he did not pass the test.
But he repented.
He did repent. And he called Moses, his younger brother, master. All right? Lord. But we see in 25... And after they saw the calf and everything, big problems, and Moses saw the people that unbridled they were, for Aharon had given them the rein for whispering among their enemies. So Moses took his stand in the gate of the camp and said, I quit. Now, who is for Yahweh to me? And that's really our call today. Who is for Yahweh to me? Then gathered unto them all the sons of Levi. There they are. And he said to them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, put you every man his sword upon his thigh, pass through and return from gate to gate in the camp, and do what?
Slay
every man his brother, and every man his friend, and every man his neighbor. How many of us today would do that?
I can't.
All right, so you have to say, and if you're not there, you need to be there, or to say, I'm just not going to obey in these particular areas. At least don't lie to yourself and say, I obey. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell among them the people on that day about 3,000 men. So they killed, put to death their family members, children, parents, friends, 3,000 of them. Why? Because they were against the idols. They were worshiping an idol.
But it says 3,000 men.
Yeah, men. Okay.
Not children. But
it's, I mean, they could be 18 years old, 16 years old. It'd be their children. But I mean, when I say children, I'm talking about family members. And we're going to see that. And let me see here. Deuteronomy 33:8.
33:8, you said?
Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 8. Now, who wants to be a Levite? To stand up for Yahweh, to be called out by Yahweh. You know, fidelity is so absolutely important. We made a covenant to say, you're my God, and I'm going to do what you say, regardless. That's called fidelity. And when things get tough, I got to choose between a family member or a friend or something else, and I choose my friend and... You know, just blown out. They're just that simple. Weak. 8:33:8. And of Levi he said, let thy perfection and thy lights belong unto the man of Hesed. So now it is put to the proof at Massah, with whom thou didst contend over the waters of Meribah, who saith of his father and of his mother, I behold them not. This is Levi. Remember? And his own brethren regarded he not. And his own sons observed he not. Because they watch thy speech that thy covenant they may preserve, may teach thy regulations unto Jacob, and thy law unto Israel, may put incense in thy nostrils and a whole offering upon thy altar. Because they chose Yahweh rather than their family members. I know today, you know, most pastors, you know, they want a living, I think, first.
They want to even talk about the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they want to talk about the Democratic, they want to even blast the Democratic Party, and you're looking at, why? Because they're looking at income instead of being a servant of Yahweh, so they're going to get the reward. Now, what got my attention in this, we'll go to Numbers, and we're going to talk about the Mennonites, or not Mennonites, Midianites.
I remember that in Numbers.
Yeah, Numbers chapter 25.
Numbers what? Sorry.
Chapter 25.
Now,
when I hit that, chapter 25, verse 1 through 17. It's a long one. And if somebody wanted volunteer readers, just go ahead and we get tired. Here's the story. And actually, the story begins in Numbers 22. We're going to take it off in the Numbers 25, 1 through 17. Go ahead.
And Israel remained among the Acacias. And the people began to go away unchastely unto the daughters of Moab, who invited the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. So the people did eat and did bow themselves down unto their gods. Thus Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor. And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon Israel. And Yahweh said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and crucify them unto Yahweh in the face of the sun, that the heat of the anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye each one his men, who have let themselves be bound to Baal Peor. And lo, a man of the sons of Israel coming in, who brought near unto his brethren a Midianite woman, before the eyes of Moses, and before the eyes of all the assembly of the sons of Israel, when they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, and rose up out of the midst of the assembly, and took a spear in his hand, and went in after the men of Israel into the pleasure tent, and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman in their parts of shame, so the plague was restrained from against the sons of Israel.
Then was it found that they who had died from the plague were 420,000. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon, and priest, have turned back my wrath from against the sons of Israel, and that he was jealous with my jealousy in their midst, so that I made not an end of the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold me, giving unto him my covenant of peace, so shall I prove to be unto him and unto his seed after him the covenant of our age-abiding priesthood, because he was jealous for Elohim and did put a propitiatory covering over the sons of Israel. Now the name of the man of Israel that was smitten, who was smitten with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, son of Salu, prince of the ancestral house of the Simeonites. And the name of the woman who was smitten, the Midianites, was Cozbi, daughter of Zur, the head of his kindred, and of the ancestral house in Midian was he. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, besiege the Midianites, and ye shall smite them. Keep going?
Yeah, stop there. Now we'll go to 31, chapter 31 of Numbers. And we're going to read 1 through 18. I guess I can read that.
Wait a minute. Go to chapter what?
31, Numbers 31, verse 1 through 18. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, exact thou the avengings of the sons of Israel from the Midianites, and afterwards shalt thou be withdrawn unto thy kinfolk. And who said that?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. So Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm ye from among ye men for the war, and let them go against Midian to render the avenging of Yahweh upon Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel. And what I'm trying to say is, it's really Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, so it's pronounced Yisrael. It's always like put a Y in front of the I. Yisrael. Shall you send forth unto the war? And there volunteered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them 1,000 of each tribe to the war, then them and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war with the vessel of the sanctuary and the trumpets in his hand. So they made war upon Midian as Yahweh had commanded Moses, and slew every male. And the kings of Midian slew they besides their other slain, namely the different five kings of Midian. Balaam also, son of Beor, slew they with the sword, who was a prophet. And the sons of Israel took the captives of women of Midian, and their little ones, and all their cattle also, and all their flock, and all their substance, carried they off as a prey. All their cities also, and their sites, and all their encampments, burned they up with fire. Then took they all the spoil, and all the booty, both of man and beast, and brought unto Moses, and unto Eleazar the priest, and unto the assembly of the sons of Israel, the captives, and the booty and the spoil unto the camp, unto the waste plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the assembly went forth to meet them unto the outside of the camp. Then was Moses sore displeased with the officers of the force, the princes of thousands, the princes of hundreds, who were coming in from a warring host. And Moses said unto them, have you saved alive every female? Lo, they became unto the sons of Israel by the advice of Balaam the cause of daring acts of treachery against Yahweh over the affair of Peor, and there came the plague against the assembly of Yahweh. Now therefore, slay you every male among the young. Now here's what's going to be the hard part. And the question is, would you do this if Yahweh told you to? So each one of us, you have to say, what I do is I had a sword in my hand, and he's going to tell you what Yahweh wants done. Now therefore, slay you every male among the young, every woman also that hath cohabitated with man, slay ye. But all the young of womankind that have not cohabitated with man, preserve alive for yourselves. Now when it says male, does that mean male children?
Mm-hmm.
Male 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old? Yes, it does. Now, would you slay them because Yahweh told you to slay them? So that would be, you know, that becomes down to how faithful are you and how far will you go? And if a person says, no, I'm not going to do that, then you're never going to be telulose and you're not going to walk in the fullness where Yahweh can say they're not faithful in these areas. I mean, they're just not going to obey what I have to say. And so they had chosen the world in this particular case, and they could still be good people and do things, but they're not going to do 100% of what Yahweh says. You know, and that's really, it really comes down to it. Just ask yourself, Yahweh, am I going to commit 100% of my life to you at the best of my ability? And then you have to be able to say, would I do something like that? No, I'm not going to do that. Then I have to say, no, I'm not going to. So now we kind of look at our age, 1 Corinthians 5, which we know about.
Well, I'm glad we're not fighting swords.
Yeah, but we're doing the same thing. And it could be very simply, you know, this is what war is all about. This is what obedience is all about, is doing things that are hard. Did Yahushua do things that are hard? Yes, he did. And now we know 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we know 1 through 13, and this is very simply our call today. Very simply. And the church generally, even today, now we've got homosexuality, people who have chosen to be homosexuality, which are in our schools as teachers. Now, am I going to stand against that wickedness? Even if my kids have to go to that school, am I going to tell my kid, stay away from all homosexuals? All right? Well, it's accepted right now. They're part of our land work. They're part of our society. You know, is that my response? Absolutely not. Do I eat with them? No. If Mrs. such and such is a chosen homosexuality, do I eat lunch with her? No. And she said, why not? Because of 1 Corinthians 5. Very simply. 5:1, on all hands there is reported to be among you fornication, and such fornication as this, which is not among the nations, as that one should have his father's wife, and ye have become puffed up, and have not rather mourned, in order that he might be removed out of your midst who this deed hath wrought. For I ain't, now here's another thing too, we gotta really remember, am I watching shows that fornication is part of this show? And have I accepted it? Have I just said, well, there's nothing else to watch, everything's got fornication in it. Where I've lowered down my standards to be able to do that. And, you know, I was raised basically it became a generation where you have friends, you know, comedies, comedy upon comedy, that fornication is recreational. That's just part of their script every game, every time somebody's fornicating. And now we know it's with homosexuals. You know, Elaine, degenerate. I mean, that's what she is. She is a degenerate. And 2, and you have become puffed up and have not rather mourned in order that he might be removed out of your midst who this deed hath wrought. Well, I'm not going to remove him out of my church. I did this with Robert Toll. I said, if you have a Democrat in your church, all right, and you don't talk that you cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat. He says, all Democrats are welcome to my church. Now, let's just see if that's true, what the word says. Because a Democrat is for abortion, they're for sodomy, they're for stealing your neighbor's goods, they're for coveting your neighbor's good, they are for... I'll look at the other one. Bearing false witness. Let's just look at that. Verse 3, for I indeed, being absent in the body, but present in the ruach, have already judged as present him who thus this thing hath perpetrated in the name of our Lord Yahushua. Ye be gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Yahushua to deliver. Well, this is going to be very lovely. To deliver such a one unto who?
Satan.
For what?
For the destruction of the flesh.
Let's do. Jesus wouldn't do that. Absolutely. That's where the instruction is coming from. Destruction of the flesh, that the ruach may be saved in the day of the Lord. Unseemly is your boast. Know you not that little leaven doth leaven the whole of the lump? Once you let that in and you have Democrat friends and you have fornicators as friends and you have all this, you are leavened and your whole household is leavened. And your grandchildren are leavened. Your children are leavened. And that happened to me in my own family when I was raised up. Purge you out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover hath even been sacrificed Christ. So then, let us be keeping the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of baseness and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in my letter not to be mixing yourself up with fornicators, not at all, meaning the fornicators of this world, or the covetous, and the extortioners, or idolaters. It really simple. Idolatry means you're bowing down to another god. Now, is the Trinity idolatry?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It's very simply, the Trinity is idolatry. Is it generally accepted? Yes, it is. Is it idolatry? Yes, it is. I mean, there's no other thing about it. It's idolatry. I did that with David Ramey. Well, no, they aren't bound down to an image. No, this guy named Ben Conway. He's an idolater. His whole statement of beliefs is Jesus. Jesus is God. Now, this is David Ramey's good friend for 10 years, and he doesn't know where he stands. And he got upset with me because I laid it to the guy that, you know, you are accursed. Is that a true statement? According to Galatians? Have you ever heard? If anybody preached anything else other than what I have said, you are what?
Accursed.
Accursed. And I say it again. If you preach any other doctrine, is Jesus the God? No. Do you bow down to Jesus?
No.
No. Are you accursed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Won't you tell a friend that they're accursed? He didn't like being called accursed. Well, that's your lifesaver. If you push away that lifesaver, you're going to be accursed all of your life. And when you think you're doing Jesus a favor, and by slandering Yahweh, heaven help you. Because you're teaching this to other people at the same time. My goodness. Else, had he been obligated in that case to go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to be mixing yourself up. If anyone be a brother, be a fornicator or a covetous or idolater or a reveler or a
reviler
or a drunkard or extortioner, with such a one as this, not so much as to be eating together. Was Dale Moran one of these people?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Donna?
Yes, Dad.
Yeah, okay. Does that fit him? Well, these are all in our lives. These are things that happen in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we're making decisions all the time to be able to say, okay, Yahweh, I'm not going to do your will in these particular areas. And that's all right. As long as a person can say, I'm not going to do your will. But you got to be honest with yourself. No, I'm not going to obey this scripture. I'm going to take out 1 Corinthians 5 and I'll just do the rest of it. Just like what people do with 1 Corinthians 14, they don't do it. They rip it out of the Bible. Because I'm not going to speak in tongues, I'm not going to interpret, I'm not going to prophesy. Okay. Now, with such a one as this, not so much as to be what? Eating together. But what have I to do with judging them who are without? Do you not judge them who are within? Whereas them who are without, God, Yahweh, judges, remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves. I mean, how much simpler can this be? Are we removing the person? And so when it comes down to it, now we go to 2 Timothy 3:10. Second Timothy 3:10.
Spirit of cowards?
No. Let me see here. It's about the party man. Let me see here.
Maybe
1
Timothy
3:10.
No,
that's not it.
Titus 3:10.
Oh, it's a Titus 3:10. Okay, that's right. Titus 3:10. Thank you. Now, a party man is not somebody who is
having a party.
And the word party is a faction. It's a group of individuals. You have the Republican Party and you have the Democrat Party. They're not party men, as we use the word party on. No. Now, here's what we do. So, when people who are Trinitarians, are they part of a faction?
Yeah.
Or sect?
Mm-hmm. Very big.
Yeah, because they believe this. And here's right here in Titus. From a party man, after a first and second admonition, what?
Excuse thyself.
Knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. I mean, you're like, okay, pretty simple here. Now we go to Revelation 13. Are we going to take the mark of the beast? So really, people say, I would never take the mark of the beast, right? Are you taking the mark of the beast today?
No.
Which means I'm not going to do your will. You know, I'm not going to do these particular things. And so if I made a decision, I'm going to rebel against Yahweh. So it's really simple. I know, and I'm going to rebel against Christ. I know you died to save me. I know you tell me to do this, but guess what? Not happening. And that's, in essence, taking the mark of the beast. So let's look at Revelation 13:16. And he caused, and the people who know better than the Trinity, who go into a church and become Trinitarian because of the congregation, have done exactly that. That's what they've come down to. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the bond that they should give unto them a mark upon their right hand or upon their forehead. Do you know what? Into a church, you cannot be accepted unless you take their mark. Right? And their mark says, you're going to read this and you're going to believe in three gods if you're a member of our church.
And you have to sign.
And you have to sign. I think that's with Pathway Church and things like that too. So you actually sign it. That you're going to do this. Let's see here. In 17, that no one should be able to buy or to sell, save he that hath the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Let's go to 14, verse 9. Look at people taking the mark of the beast. And another of a third messenger is following them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone does homage unto the beast and his image, and receives the mark upon his forehead, or upon his hand, he also shall drink of the wine and the wrath of Yahweh, which is prepared unmixing in the cup of the anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone before holy messengers and before the Lamb. Very simply. Now, it's not going to be as severe as this, but think of that. Taking that mark to say, I'm going with the masses. I'm going with the masses. That's all there is to it. Give me the beat. I don't be able to take this pressure. 20 verse 4. And this is the Trinity, the doctrines of spirit, soul, and body. Jesus is the God. All these are marks that you have to be able to say, if you don't do this, and here's just an example of the mark of the beast. This is in England. The Blasphemy Act of 1697 was an act of the Parliament of England. It made an offense for any person educated in or having made profession of Christian religion by writing, preaching, teaching, or advised speaking to deny the Holy Trinity. It was a capital punishment. To claim there is more than one God, to deny the truth of Christianity, and to deny the Bible as divine authority. The Doctrine of the Trinity Act 1813, some call the Trinitarian Act of 1812, you know, you're talking about 120 years later, was an act of the Parliament of the United Kingdom. It amended the Blasphemy Act in respect of its Trinitarian provision. The Blasphemy Act applied only to those educated in or having made profession of the Christian religion. The Blasphemy Act was repealed in 1967. Look at that, 1967. Implicitly making the doctrine of the, implicitly taking the doctrine of the Trinity with it.
Read that again. I don't know what you said.
So really what it comes down to is they finally are not going to, otherwise you'd be quiet on the Blasphemy Act and the Trinity. But now we're just not going to, now we're just going to say, take the Trinity out of our statement altogether in 1967. So to deny the Trinity was blasphemy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so think of that. You know, think of that. I've got to confess that there's three gods. Now think of that. You know, I mean, when you think of it today, and same with anybody who joins Pathway Church, if you sign up.
You keep saying that.
Well, but any church, I mean, look at Terry Fox, I mean, the Summit Church, oh, they're all Trinitarians. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to Trinitarian situation.
Yeah.
You know, but I never knew that, you know, when you went to these places, that you actually had to sign something.
Israel told us.
To become a member of something, and you're like, wow. Yeah. And you're talking about bowing down to say, yeah, I really didn't mean it, but I'm going to help them from the inside out, or whatever it comes down to. Let's go to 20, verse 4, Revelation. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and sentence of judgments was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and such had not done homage unto the wild beast or unto his image, nor had received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. And they, what happened to them when they did not receive the mark? They died. Right? And people say, I don't want to die. I don't want to be an outcast of society. And that's in today, we're not as severe. But these guys were beheaded, and that really reminds you of Islam. Mm-hmm. It might be part of the religion. But on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. They all resurrected, and they lived with Christ for 1,000 years. So as Christ was put to death, so were they. Okay. That's the end of that. I'm going to give you just a little heads up on Tishri 10. And go to Leviticus 23.
23.
Today is Tishri 10. Day of Propitiation.
Is it 23?
Yeah. And we had to do that with Tim Lamb. And he was fornicating. And Wendy said, if you do not marry this person or keep fornicating, we can't have anything to do with you. Period. And so he made a stand. And you know what he ended up doing?
Got married.
He got married.
And got into the Word.
He got back into the Word. It was really simple to be able to say.
Wasn't just a piece of paper.
Yeah, so here's a Christian that was fornicating, and his brother fornicated, and his probably uncle's fornicated, and everybody in the family line fornicated. His probably sons fornicate, and it's just, and this is a Christian, you know, as by himself fornicating, probably you know, getting drunk, everything else, and it killed him. And now he made a decision because when he says, "Not happening, guy, you're not welcome here."
Well, I didn't put it that way.
No, but we said very simply, you can't. There's no fellowship here. We'll keep working with you and trying to talk with you. He ended up getting married, and he's reading the Word and getting people speaking in tongues and things like that. So heaven help him. I mean, if that's what a great stand, how proud Christ and Yahweh are for you making a stand. Is that you?
I think the interesting thing about that witness is that he fell so far.
Yeah.
He quit fellowshipping with other believers. Then he quit reading his Word. Then he quit listening to teachings. Then he quit listening to Christian view. He said, I haven't had anything in my life for so long. It was just like creeping out of his life. Mm-hmm. And when I said, no, this is why, the first thing he did was dug his Bible up and started reading it.
Yeah, and so he was conformed to this age.
It's not, I'm not saying this, your father's saying this.
So, Leviticus 23:26-32, page 150, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, surely on the 10th of this 7th month, in the day of perpetuation, a holy convocation shall be to you, therefore shall you humble yourselves. And this is the only holiday, the special day, is that humble. And that means you're going to be mourning and weeping for your sins all day. It's a day of humble. And you will humble, and humble your souls and bring near an altar flame unto Yahweh. And no work shall you do. So that was a day. If people wanted to look at it and go into the day of the great day of propitiation, it's Leviticus chapter 16. Christ in Hebrews 2:17 and 9:11-12 was the high priest who went into the Holy of Holies once, while they had to go in every year and solve the situation. One time situation for that situation for sins. Now what's important about that, people must ask, I think what we're missing many times in the grace administration, is what's the difference between us and the gospel administration? And people say, once saved, always saved. No, I don't really believe that. I mean, really believe where we got it is. Since Yahushua paid the one propitiatory price, it made us all eligible, regardless of our lives, to receive Holy Spirit. So one thing this age has that no other age is going to have is every man, woman, and child who Yahushua is their Lord automatically receives the Holy Spirit. Regardless, because of his price that cleansed us so completely that we're all able now to receive the Holy Spirit. So think about that. And that's what distinguishes our age from every other age. Are we supposed to do the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Are we supposed to do the first and second commandment? Absolutely. Okay, now we'll do a prophecy. Right on time, 2 minutes early. Heavenly Father, and this according to 1 Corinthians 14, the words for the hearers and seers. Thank you for these words. Through Christ our Lord, amen. As you begin each moment of your life.
727. Battery 76%.
Let's start over. Begin each day and each moment with a rejoicing in your heart that I have set you free. I have put you on high. You are my sons and daughters, whom I set on my right hand and my left hand. I embrace you with both arms, in order that you may live up to the standards I presented before you. That you will take the hard road and not the easy road. That you will be willing to pay sacrifices for what my son did for you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Isaiah.